everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 76. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. And in this week, this episode is a rather special episode because this week I celebrated the one thing that I thought I would never really accomplish. And that is I have been on the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network for 1 year now. And it's really a big accomplishment for me. I never intended to really do a podcast and be doing something on a weekly basis like this. And I sort of started out helping some students out, and then it sort of builds from there into a podcast that I hope reaches all of you and maybe teaches you something, helps you inspire you to work on projects yourself. Basically, the way it started off is I kind of always have said that the way I got involved with Podnuts is I just kind of sent an email one day to Dor and said, hey, I've got this sort of podcast thing that I've been working on. Would you be willing to take a listen to a few episodes and give me some feedback? And not only did he listen to all the episodes that I had posted, which was, you know, somewhere between 25 and 30 at the time, and he went and listened to all of them, gave me some really good feedback, and then gave me an offer that I couldn't refuse to join a group of people who are passionate about what they talk about in a family-friendly type of shows. And I couldn't be happier, and I just want to give a big thank you to Podnuts for helping me out about a year ago. There's a lot of great shows on the Podnuts network that I listen to, and if you've never listened to them, I highly encourage you to check them, some of them out. You know, we got shows like Android App Addicts, Book Nuts, a great audiobook podcast if you're into audiobooks. Geeksters is another one of my favorite shows. You know, you get the Mini PC Show, Linux for the Rest of Us, even Sports Nuts. Sports Nuts is a good show if you're interested in sports and keeping up to date with that. A lot of great content on that network. And over the last year, it's been really kind of fun discussing topics that I wanted to learn about and sharing them with all of you. And the feedback that I've gotten over the last year has been really supportive. And I want to thank everybody for listening because it's sort of been a journey. I started off on Podnuts Network with episode 33. I had recorded some episodes prior to that, but episode 33 is kind of a fun number to start off with Podnuts. And if you're not, don't sort of know what I'm getting at. You know, one of my favorite science fiction shows was Battlestar Galactica. Their first pilot episode for the new reimagined series was also called 33, so that's kind of cool. So just a little bit of geekery there. But as the year went on, you know, I would review things, software like Kden Live and OpenShot. I would go on to review some audiobooks, some games, talked a lot about Mac stuff over the last year. I was looking for an Android device and picked up a Kindle around last Christmas time. Talked about some SpaceX things, Google certification, some Linux distro reviews, just random experiences with big companies like Amazon. And, you know, I've failed along the way as well. Had some mishaps. I at one point in time, I wanted to go see Brain Candy Live and ended up catching the flu and didn't get to go see the show. I really wanted to. I actually was trying to get an interview at the time with the host of that touring show. And just kind of really built a lot of things, and then I got interested in a bunch of different things that I didn't think I would be interested in at one point in time. I got a ham radio license, talked about that on and off quite a bit, got into some Blex things. I did a controversial episode just to stir up some feedback. I did an episode on climate change, and that was really interesting to see the people that were passionate about the other end of the spectrum that I wanted to hear from. And those people, they expressed their opinions, gave me what they thought were facts, and I appreciated that. And it was all to drum up some feedback and some interest, and that's exactly what I got. And whether they agreed with me or disagreed with me on some certain topics, that doesn't bother me. You know, I love the fact that somebody was passionate enough to write in and you know, contradict what I was saying. So that's awesome. After that, I got into some other things that I wasn't expecting, like SkyWave Linux. Did a whole series on Atlas missiles, which was kind of fun, and just kind of plugged away. Got into Raspberry Pis and all sorts of other things, projects like Nextcloud, and which brings us sort of to you know, getting back to full circle. What I really wanted to do when I started this podcast was helping students out and giving them technology ideas and the skills to teach themselves technology topics that they might be interested in. So just at my local school over the last few weeks, we've been getting a student help desk going. So it's really been a fun year, and it's fun to reflect back on all of that stuff. And I just want to send a big thank you to not only PodNuts, but all the listeners out there for listening to this show and for keeping me productive. I don't think there has been a single time over the last year where I have turned my computer on to record a podcast and thought, oh, I hate this. Why am I doing this? It's always been really fun. It's still fun for me. I enjoy doing this. And I think part of that has to do with I'm not recording a 2-hour podcast every week. I'm trying to keep them short and concise. At the same time, I'm just talking about things that I'm learning about, and you know, I at no means do I proclaim to make myself an expert on anything, but you know, you start piecing these things together over a long period of time, and you start developing skills that you didn't think that you had, and that's sort of the idea here as well. So coming up this month, if you haven't been to my website, mrptechreviews.com, that has sort of been a place where I can post additional information to this podcast. You know, if I'm working on projects, I post some photos of day trips that I've taken that I've talked about on the podcast. It gives me an avenue to write a little bit. And to have all of the things that I do in one place, whether it's the RSS feed to the podcast that you can subscribe to, or occasionally I do live streaming on YouTube or post a YouTube video. I've gotten more into the audio aspect of the podcast, but I do occasionally post videos. I have links to PodNux and my Facebook page, as well as some other projects that I'm working on as just as other fun technology projects that I sort of work on from time to time. And so that's mrptechreviews.com. If you've never taken a look at it, take a look at it. And so this episode is sort of going to talk a lot about sort of website design and learning the skills necessary to build a website. Before I get into that, though, speaking of websites, my website, mrptechreviews.com, is up for renewal. And I just want to put a quick plug out there. If you have listened to this show and you really have enjoyed some of the topics I've covered, you listen to this show weekly, or maybe it was the first time listening to the show and you want to support someone that you wouldn't normally support, my hosting plan is up for the annual review this month, and I've got to pay the hosting for the website. And I don't make any money off of this podcast, but I really enjoy doing it. One of the things that I would really appreciate, if anybody out there was generous enough to help me out to offset the cost of my website, go to mrptechreviews.com and hit that donate button, and just help me, you know, not have to put my own personal finances into podcasting when I'm not getting anything back from it. I would really appreciate the help and support if you could do that. And that's basically what I'm going to say about that. If you could help me out, that would be great. Just go to the website and hit the donate button and maybe help me offset the costs of this website as a way of saying thank you for doing all the work. I would really appreciate that. Now getting back into the topic for today, over the last few weeks, it's been really interesting. I have you know, I work on MRPTechReviews.com. I work on it from time to time. And it seems like every avenue of my life recently has been coming full circle and trying to get me to work on websites. And I have some students who are really interested in learning HTML. Actually, I have several students who are quite fluent in HTML, part of this technology group at the school. And just recently, I was at a county music festival, and another music teacher that I work with basically had went around taking photos of all of the different performing groups. They had a concert band and a chorus and an orchestra for this middle school event. And one of the things she said was, you know, I wish we had a place that we could put all of these, this information. And I said, like a Facebook page or something like that. She said, no, more like a Wix site. And as soon as she said that, the bell started going off in my head. I've used Wix for years. I'm not a web designer by any means. I actually, years ago, I started using GoDaddy. This was in the early 2000s. I had a website for a couple of years and then didn't get into web design again for a while. And with my band, I needed a quick website, so I went to Wix. Wix isn't the greatest of websites. It's all very easy to use, though, and you can get a website up and running very quickly. For some of the things that I need it to do, it's very slow. I have slow loading times sometimes on my website. But for me, it's ease of use because I didn't know HTML. I learned a little bit of HTML years ago, but it's been so long. And so what I did was able to do for this music association that I'm a part of is the day of the festival, this other music teacher said, okay, I wish there was a place for all of these pictures. Within 10 minutes, I was able to get a website up and it looked rather nice. It wasn't complete, but it was basically functional and it was all there. And that for me is time saving, not having to write code and that type of stuff. I wouldn't be that good for creating a website in HTML at this point in time. So not only am I working on websites for my band and for the podcast, and I've got students that are interested in HTML, part of this technology club that we're putting together at my school. My music association had me develop a website. And so the bell started ringing and started turning things in my brain that, you know, maybe it's time to take a look at HTML again and really give it a spin and see how far I can go with it. And so what I want to talk to you about today is resources to teach yourself how to learn HTML. So basically HTML is, if you're not sure what it is, hypertext markup language. It's a programming language that is meant for creating websites and helping your browser display, accurately display what you want. And basically HTML5 is the latest version of HTML. And you combining that with something called cascading style sheets and JavaScript, you can take a very basic website into making it something that has a lot of presentation to it and even animations at some point in time with JavaScript. So it's meant to basically display anything that you want online without requiring other browser plugins and that type of thing. It can also handle things like audio and high-definition video and large graphics as well. So on and off over the last week, I have sort of looked into HTML. And again, I'm not an expert on it. But I feel that if I can give someone the resources to teach themselves, that's exactly sort of what I'm going to do with this over the next few weeks. I want to, whenever I have a minute or two, I just kind of plugging away teaching myself HTML in the hopes that maybe at someday I can switch from, you know, a Wix site to switch my domain over to, you know, something that maybe uses cPanel or WordPress or other things where I can use HTML a little in a little bit more detail and create something that I really want to create. Wix has its limits. I'd like a faster running website than I have now. It's not terrible, but it's not really great either. And so the first thing I did is let's take a look at some options of where to go if you want to learn HTML. First and easiest way to go is go right on YouTube. There are some great HTML tutorials right off the bat that you can get started on. If video isn't your thing, I found a couple of websites. I'm going to put the links in the show notes. If you want a very basic explanation of how HTML works, I'd go to www.w3schools.com/HTML. And this is a very text-based explanation of what HTML does, how to create an HTML document, and get you started and what you need in HTML. And it's basically from start to finish, everything that you would expect and want to learn about HTML or HTML5. It's all very text-based. It's really got a good layout if you are one that likes to actually sit and read and learn in that format. Another very easy website to learn HTML, www.learn-html.org. This actually lets you run some of the programming language as you're going through and looking at it, learning about HTML. So it's got a nice little box at the bottom where you can actually experiment and write your own HTML side by side with what you're looking at. So that's a kind of another different way to learn and teach yourself HTML. You know, if you're using Linux or, you know, Mac, you can use text editors. You know, if you're on Windows, you can use Notepad, that type of thing. There are various ways you can write in HTML. One of the best ways that I've found that to take a look at HTML stuff is if you go to sololearn.com/play/HTML, a great course that's very nice looking step-by-step process of teaching your HTML, and very goal oriented, and the website looks really nice, is really beautiful, and again it's a step-by-step process, but it's not as text heavy. It's very one step moves to the next step moves to the next step type of thing, and at the very end you get a certificate for completing their course, which is kind of cool. And so all these things are free, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier, but basically these are free ways you can teach yourself HTML, the basics of HTML. You're not going to become an amazing web designer overnight with this, but these are our skills. The other place that I'm taking a look at is Khan Academy. If you are looking intro to HTML with Khan Academy, there are videos you can watch there. You can ask questions. There's documentation with each lesson as well. So this sort of combines the text and the video approach into one lesson-based, unit-based way to teach yourself HTML. And I think that all of these resources put together would give you a general idea of how to teach yourself HTML and get you writing very basic websites. Then from there, you can move on to CSS or JavaScript and really create some in-depth websites, or at least get yourself practicing it. Now, just in the last 3 or 4 days of working on this, I haven't really jumped in full bore yet. But just in the last few days, I was able to I refreshed my memory on how to make a basic website and open it in a browser and that type of thing. But it actually helped me with something, a problem that I was having on a website for my band. Anytime I live streamed, I wanted people to use myband.com/live. And they could go to YouTube and watch the live stream there too. But I also wanted to sort of see how many people were I wanted people to go to my website and I wanted them to watch the live stream there. So, and keep track of maybe how many people were watching the live stream so that I could know if it was really beneficial or not. The problem was that when I embedded the YouTube video to the site, it was only a certain size and I wanted it to be much bigger. Yes, you could watch it in full screen, but just on the website, it was a small box. And by teaching myself HTML code, I would actually go into the text for embedding the video into my website, and I was able to expand the box that the video was in to the size that I wanted it using height and width settings. And so even with a site like Wix that is very focused on not using HTML, but letting you move things around and place things where you want them, you can dig a little deeper if you know HTML and get it and edit things in fine detail. So already by taking a look at HTML, I'm learning a few things. Now, many of you out there probably are web designers and you're using things like, you know, A, B, C, X, Y, Z web design tools. I don't really want to pay for web design tools. There's Adobe Muse. There's lots of other things out there you can pay for. For me, it's just a matter. Sometimes I just want a website up and tweak it from time to time. That might be changing now that I'm learning more about it. I understand the power of HTML and it gives you access to whatever it is that you really want to do. If you know how to do it, you can. And so it's just another tool in the toolbox, basically. And encourage you, if you've never learned HTML, but you really want to learn or have thought about it from time to time. I've always been scared of it for some reason. Didn't really want to get into it that much and never took a class in college, a computer class in college. I had too many other things that I had to take, being a musician. We were required to spend 6 hours in a practice room, you know, every day and that type of thing. So my electives were based on other things. So I never was able to take a programming class or HTML class. And so from time to time, I like to teach myself these things to have those skills in the future. And it seems like everything lately has been coming full circle for web design. And maybe that happens to you sometimes too. Other things start coming full circle. So I'm going to put these links in the show notes for you to take a look at. Maybe you can find one that is beneficial to you or that you prefer over the other ones. I tried to find a wide range of different topics, from text-based to video-based to very visual, and we all learn in different ways. So if you find this helpful, let me know. If you have other resources for teaching yourself HTML for free, I would appreciate if you could send that to me. I would love to share it with everyone else and take a look at it myself as well. You can go to mrptechreviews.com and hit the contact form and just share me some of that information, and I'll put it out in the next show as some feedback. Other than that, that's going to do it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. One of the things I'm working on this week as well, I was actually given a mobile radio for my car, and I'm working on, it's kind of a fun little project. I have a Prius. I was going to wrap up the episode, but I might as well tell you now. I have a Prius. I drive a lot and I drive a lot of miles. So gas mileage is important. And in the back of the Prius is where the battery is. And there's also a compartment that I've never used in the back of the Prius. That's perfect for a mobile, two-way radio. And we've talked about amateur radio in the past. Really quickly, I was given a radio to use by a friend of mine who got me into amateur radio, and had to buy some cables, had to buy a little speaker for the radio, and the front plate of the radio actually separates so that I can have the radio in the back of the car, and the front plate with all the controls in the front of the car. Had to track down a separation cable, had to design how I wanted it all to fit in the car itself. And so last night I spent about an hour or so putting everything in the car, running the cables, And basically all I have left to do is connect the power cables to the battery, and I'm going to be up and running with a mobile radio. My wife was kind enough to get me a mobile antenna for my car so that I can hit all the repeaters within, you know, 20 to 50 miles of my car. And so I, for the first time, I'm up and running with a mobile radio system. It's kind of cool. So I'm going to tell you about that a little bit next week. I'm going to have another topic as well. I'm not going to spend a whole episode on it, but kind of a fun little project, do-it-yourself. The front plate, I didn't want mounted in the front of my car. I wanted it to be removable so that maybe it wasn't in the way for certain things that we needed to do or something like that. I didn't want it in my car at all times. So my goal is, what I did from Amazon, it's coming in tomorrow, is I actually bought a cup holder tablet holder. And I'm hoping that the front plate of this radio, I can actually mount on this tablet holder, and that you basically attach it to a cup holder in your car, and you've got now instead of a tablet, you've got the faceplate for a radio, and I can have all my controls there, and it won't be kind of falling around as I'm driving. It'll be all in one spot. So that's my goal. I'm hoping that works. Kind of got a little creative with it. We'll see how it works, and I may have to adjust my experimentation a little bit as it goes on, but kind of a fun little build project that I've never done before. So anyway, that is going to do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. I could use your support for renewing my website. If you could help me out with that, help offset the cost of this podcast, that would be great. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.